In January of 2021, we at Tomorrow's World released a program entitled The Challenge of Dealing with Depression. This was recorded and released in the midst of the COVID-19 lockdowns, a period which saw a significant increase in episodes of clinical depression. It is notable, however, that in the period since the end of the COVID-related restrictions, the problem of depression has not dissipated, but rather has become one of the fastest-growing health concerns of our age. In April 2024, author Daniel Payne, writing for Politico, made this observation about the steadily rising incidence of depression among youth. So many patients in mental crisis, often not old enough to drive, are going to the ER that it is slowing care for everyone. Health systems have created new facilities to handle a load, and many kids aren't receiving care at all. More than 1 in 5 high school students seriously considered suicide in 2021, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The issue of depression is not just about someone feeling badly, but is now becoming a serious economic concern. The World Health Organization estimates that 12 billion productive workdays are lost every year due to depression and anxiety alone, at a cost of about $1 trillion US. As of 2020, the World Health Organization ranks major depressive disorder as the second leading cause of disability worldwide. When our original program was aired, we had a very large response from people seeking to find suggestions or strategies to help them personally or someone they cared about overcome the ravages of this 21st century plague. That response led us to develop a DVD, also available through a download, especially designed to identify contributors to depression and some strategies for successfully overcoming such challenges. The DVD looks at biological and non-biological factors and addresses some of the current social trends that are known to be associated with higher than normal rates of depressive episodes, especially among younger people. We are pleased to offer this DVD to you free of charge. We will explain how you can acquire your own later on in the program. As with all of our materials, they are complimentary with no request for money or follow-up. Stay tuned as we examine how one can improve their chances of winning the battle against depression. There's an old saying, there is a cause for every effect. So what could be causing this terrible plague of depression in a society that has more physical amenities and luxuries than at any time in human history? In fact, even those who are rather poor economically have conveniences only accessible to the rich, but 2 or 3 generations ago. After all, many of our great-grandparents living in North America and Europe in the 1920s in all likelihood did not have running water, central heating, an indoor flush toilet, a shower facility, a vacuum cleaner, and in most cases seldom, if ever, took a holiday. Medical care was often unaffordable or simply not able to successfully deal with many types of illness or injury. They often repaired their own clothing until it could no longer be mended. In many ways, life was harsher. Yet there is no record of clinical depression on a mass scale. So why, with what is clearly an easier lifestyle today, do we find so much serious depressive disorders? It cannot be blamed on poverty or deprivation, because research shows it is just as prevalent among the rich as the poor, perhaps even more so. Well, what is depression anyway? Normally, it is defined as a feeling of severe despondency and dejection, which can lead to a sense of despair and loss of motivation. It is important, as researchers will note, not to equate sadness with depression. We will all feel sad at one time or another due to a circumstance, but a feeling of sadness alone does not constitute mental depression. The latter can have devastating consequences. While experts will admit there are many reasons why a person may fall into bouts of depression, the causes fall into 2 broad categories, biological and non-biological, the latter referring to traumatic events or even lifestyle practices. It is a paradox that while activity in certain parts of the brain can affect our mood, our emotions themselves can alter some cerebral functions. In recent years, however, new techniques in imaging have permitted a much better examination of the brain, its circuitry and chemical or hormonal reactions. Neurons are nerve cells, which are uniquely designed to transmit and receive messages, or, when appropriate, to block a message. The cell body possesses connectors that interact with other cells consisting of dendrites and axons, which control transmission and reception of messages between neurons. The chemicals used in this communication are called neurotransmitters. Between the connectors of two adjoining cells is a small space called a synapse. To make a message bridge the gap, the cell sends molecular chemicals, the neurotransmitters, into it, that bind with the receptors of the two cells and enable the message to cross. Thus, these activating neurotransmitters facilitate the communication. On the other hand, a neuron may produce a chemical that prevents that transmission. These are known as inhibitors. To date, six of these essential chemicals have been identified. Problems can occur when neurons produce too much or too little of an activator or inhibitor for different situations. A depressed mood is one possible result, which can be mild or severe depending on the chemicals involved. The medical community is making significant strides in identifying the functions of neurotransmitters and prescribing treatments that can assist the patient to experience improvements in dealing with biological causes of depression. Our temperament can be a factor. To a considerable extent, temperament is an inherited trait, helping to determine how quickly we might get angry, frustrated, or excited. This impacts how one handles a sudden crisis, disappointment, or rejection. Genetics combined with our experiences can shape our approach to life. Our experiences are in many ways a product of the environment we are in or have put ourselves in, the actions we decide to take or not to take. Therefore, our chosen behaviors can in fact make us more vulnerable to depression or more able to overcome such negative feelings. Later in the program, we will look at ways we can positively address such challenges. If some biological functions are not working as they should, a person may be more prone to depression. Sometimes seeking advice and diagnosis from skilled medical practitioners can help determine if depression is caused or enhanced by direct biological factors, and a range of treatments may be available. However, these biological factors have been with us since mankind has existed. Inherited predispositions, then, do not explain the sudden increase in episodes of depression we are seeing today. While there are biological causes for depression, this is by no means the only element which may contribute to the problem. Numerous studies have been published indicating that abnormalities in chemical activity may themselves be caused by other factors. Truly, medical research has made significant progress toward better understanding brain function and even identifying genetic anomalies that can make one susceptible to low moods. There are, however, factors other than biology that are involved in depression. Knowing which strategies can help shine a light of hope in what appears to be darkness can change one's life for the better. While medications and various psychotherapies may be useful tools in the fight against depression, there needs to be an active involvement of the patient to address, where applicable, elements of lifestyle and outlook that may be contributors to the problem. So let us now examine some of the known behavioral and social factors that can contribute to depression. A major depressive episode can take away the incentive to participate in or the pleasure received from nearly all activities. The individual finds it difficult to motivate themselves to do anything, even to rise in the morning, and this can be harmful to employment, education, and even close relationships. Often the depressed person retreats to seek solace, wanting to find refuge from a feeling of despair, but this reduces their ability to contribute, to achieve something however small, and only adds to the sense of hopelessness and despondency. Researchers Carmel Choi and Jordan Smoller recently published a summary of their research in this area in The Lancet entitled Making the Right Moves to Prevent Depression in Young People. In this, they note, a growing body of large-scale data now supports the conclusion that physical activity is associated with a reduced risk of depression. The researchers strongly recommended adding some form of physical activity, however minimal, to a routine, even as simple as a walk outdoors, to improve or elevate one's immediate mood. Mild and moderate exercise stimulates the body to produce serotonin and endorphins. These chemicals, sometimes known as the feel-good hormones, help alleviate and control depression. Diet is not what immediately comes to mind when we think of a problem of mental depression. However, several recent studies published in scientific journals are pointing to a connection between the type of food we eat and depression. A study published in the American Journal of Psychiatry found a link between modern Western diet, high in processed foods, sugars, and refined grains, and higher incidence of depression among women. A balanced and less processed diet was found to lower the incidence. The link between some manifestations of depression and diet resulted in the development of a field of medicine known as nutritional psychiatry. The brain is one of the most active metabolic zones in the human body and needs a continuous flow of nutrients to complete the massive number of functions it must achieve constantly. It is now known that nutrition can play a role in the onset as well as the severity and duration of depression. In 2008, an article appeared in the Indian Journal of Psychiatry, which discussed some landmark work being done in the area of nutritional psychiatry. Our complimentary video offer gives a thorough review of many of their findings, documenting foods needed for good brain health that contributes to improving mood if suffering from depression. Researchers at the University of Minnesota observed, poor sleep has a strong effect on mood, in part because the neurotransmitters needed to support mood are replenished with sleep. Thus, we need restorative sleep to maintain a balanced brain and help alleviate depression and anxiety. Research has shown that chronic sleep deprivation can trigger forms of depression. Thus, developing stable sleeping habits can counter a cycle of poor sleep and a poor mood. Brain health is more dependent upon sleep than most people realize. It is during sleep that the brain cleans itself of waste products and creates new connections. A lack of this form of total rest can lead to issues such as drowsiness, problems with memory and concentration, impaired judgment, all of which can aggravate depression. Researchers have long made a connection between the onset and continuance of chronic depression and loneliness, or a feeling of isolation. The matter of loneliness can be both a cause and a consequence of social isolation. And isolation, whatever its cause, can be a contributor to serious depression. In the spring of 2019, journalist Kay Heimovitz of the Manhattan Institute, writing in the City Journal, stated, Americans are suffering from a bad case of loneliness. Only around half of Americans say they have meaningful, daily face-to-face social interactions. Loneliness, public health experts tell us, is killing as many people as obesity and smoking. When life seems overwhelming, one possible reaction is to turn inward, retreating from direct contact with people as much as possible. Reestablishing contact with others seems to be a near insurmountable task. A strong social network, even maintaining a few close friends or relations, can be a literal lifeline in a time of seeming despair. Human beings really need direct face-to-face social interaction at some level. Isolation makes one more vulnerable to the stresses that can lead to depression. It should come as no surprise to anyone watching this program that the structure of our society has changed drastically from the way it was only 30 years ago. We have an epidemic of depression, and at the same time, an epidemic of isolation. It would be only foolishness to suggest that these two are not related. Journalist Heimovitz more or less nails it with an astute observation. Foundering social trust, collapsing heartland communities, an opioid epidemic, and rising numbers of deaths of despair suggest a profound collective discontent. It is worth mapping out one major cause that is simultaneously so obvious and so uncomfortable that loneliness observers tend to mention it only in passing. I'm talking, of course, about family breakdown. Now we should take account of how deeply the changes in family life of the past 50-odd years are intertwined with the flagging well-being of so many adults and communities. As I mentioned in our feature video, Haimovich goes on to describe how the kinship that formal family relations produces insulates the individual from the risk of profound loneliness and the despair and depression that can be a consequence. She writes, "Kinship has been the most powerful glue of human groups since Homo sapiens first discovered the mother-in-law." She goes on to observe that the relationships developed in a formal contractual marriage produce strong family bonds, and even to some degree a sense of responsibility toward members of the immediate and even extended family. She notes that research implies that couples cohabitating outside of a marriage agreement, even those with children, do not see the same level of family connection or development of extended family relations. Marriage creates kin. Cohabitation does not. If this is the case, then we are headed toward a kinless society, one in which loneliness and depression will be nearly ubiquitous. The decline of the nuclear family is an indicator of a society withdrawing into self-interest, which is nearly always correlated with higher levels of depression and anxiety. To fight depression, avoid becoming isolated from human contact. Get outside your house or apartment. Walk to a store, stop in a coffee shop, smile at people, and strike up the occasional conversation. We all very much need human contact and interaction, even if it is just with the cashier asking what you would like in your coffee. It is possible to gradually work one's way back into being with and enjoying people, as long as one is careful with whom one chooses to associate. There are other considerations as well, such as being aware of time spent on social media. Additionally, society is feeling a loss of the sense of gratitude and being grateful, even for little things. These issues are both addressed at length in our featured video offer this week, and it will show how dangerous uncontrolled social media can be, and also the terrible effects on our mood when we are no longer grateful people, truly appreciating great food, fresh air, and a beautiful flower. Over the past century, most areas that define themselves as being of Western culture have experienced a rise in secularism, and at the same time, a proportionate increase in the prevalence of anti-religious, often social deconstructionist philosophies. These are an assortment of ideas that generally question traditional values and beliefs about order and identity, and especially challenge those who believe that truth is an absolute. It undermines the teaching that there are some basic values or standards that universally define right and wrong. A century ago, most would have been born into a relatively stable social order, regardless of the culture of the land of their birth. Concepts of what was right and what was wrong in that culture were driven traditionally by religious and cultural perspectives that had been in place and largely unchanged for many generations. Today, the radicals who have taken over many of society's institutions challenge the very notion of absolutes and acceptance of traditional right and wrong. This threatens the stability of people, especially children living in an environment where there is both a disintegration of the knowledge base in school curriculum and an open-ended sense of morality or amorality. It opens the door to aimlessness and depression, especially, as research shows, among males. All of this undermines the notion that there is a spiritual dimension, and leaves many people with a sense of hopelessness, seeing no meaning to life, no transcendent purpose for being alive. Much to the chagrin of the modern social activist warrior, credible researchers clearly show the benefits of the spiritual dimension in creating hope, enhancing productivity, and in successfully battling depression. It is noteworthy that modern medical research demonstrates religious belief helps suppress depression. Carefully conducted scientific studies strongly indicate that a religious belief leading to a code of personal behavior is a powerful tool in the fight against depression. Research at Columbia University revealed that persons in a study sample who placed a high value on religious belief had better brain development in zones where underdevelopment contributes to depression. The study goes on to suggest that religious beliefs actually affect brain microstructure in ways that confer resilience against depression even among high-risk individuals. A study done in 2012 points out that depression is increasing among younger age groups. Among persons aged 15 to 44 in the USA, major depression is now the leading cause of disability days. It is interesting that this is the very age group where one finds the largest decline in involvement in religious activity and worship. Although this program provides only the most basic overview of the issue of depression, many of the suggestions of the scientific studies looked at were in fact stated long ago in the pages of the Bible. The content of that text provides a reason or purpose for mankind's existence. The same book provides rules, laws, and guidelines of behavior which were written and preserved to create an environment of peace and security and to develop peace of mind. Many of these directions are fundamentally the same as those modern researchers are providing to try and help individuals overcome depression. Mankind, however, has largely rejected these biblical principles, which included ways to establish and maintain a healthy mental outlook and a positively balanced mood. Our feature video offer provides several examples. I will relate one to demonstrate how far ahead of its time the biblical directions actually are. As we noted earlier, one of the strategies that is recommended to break the chains of depression is the practice of some form of physical activity. As was explained, even stretching and moderate walking really helps. Note the advice written to people in the Greek city of Thessalonica, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. How similar is this to advice given in May 2012 by Dr. Carrie Barron, writing in Psychology Today? Research has shown that hand activity, from knitting to woodworking to growing vegetables or chopping them, are useful for decreasing stress, relieving anxiety, and modifying depression. Our featured video offer today points out additional resources that Tomorrow's World produces which can help you live a happier and healthier life, all based upon the best of modern research and the inspired wisdom given to man by his creator so many millennia ago. Depression is a growing problem that is threatening both the social and economic well-being of the nation. The lifestyles and new value sets of this postmodern and ultra-progressive environment are likely significant factors contributing to this plague of despair that now afflicts so many. Yet there is hope. There are steps one can take to once again discover and experience the joy of life. It is both revealing and interesting to note that what we have discussed is supported in modern science. But 2,000 years ago, a well-educated and connected Jewish leader, who was used to author a good portion of the New Testament, also commented in a similar way on keeping a positive mindset. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Depression can be defeated by making some physical changes and incorporating various helpful habits into our lives. But please note that there is also a spiritual side not to be ignored, which can be a powerful asset and in many ways is the most powerful tool in one's struggle for mental health and comfort. We humans are not the consequence of blind chance. We have been, as anyone can plainly see, incredibly well designed, and all design requires a designer. That designer provides us with guidance and a way of life that can counter the tendency toward depression. Thank you for watching, and we hope this has been of help. If you would like to access the free resources referenced in this program, the contact information will be given again momentarily. Join us again next week when Gerald Weston, Michael Haykoop, and I will bring you more insight into the hope that will soon be universally realized in tomorrow's world. I hope you profited from this video. If you found it helpful and want to learn more, be sure to get your free DVD called Understanding and Overcoming Depression. We here at Tomorrow's World want to help you understand our world through the pages of the Bible. So be sure to like, subscribe, and hit the bell so you won't miss another video. Thank you for watching. See you next time.